Alexander. Good morning.
Good morning, Jim.
Now, it was your budget, as well as George Osborne's, agreed by coalition ministers. Do you think that the spending squeeze that's predicted for the next 2 years as a consequence of this plan can be done?
I think that we can deal with the deficit, finish the job of balancing the structural current deficit, which is the job that we set out with at the beginning of this Parliament, but we can do so in a fair way by allowing a substantial proportion of that to be the burden to be carried through tax measures to ensure that the best off in society, to ensure that corporations and others make a contribution to that. I would argue that the government has agreed to give the OBR an assumption about the path of deficit reduction. There is a big difference between Liberal Democrats and Conservatives about how you do that. And of course, beyond 2017-18, there's, if you like, an even bigger divergence about what the path of expenditure should be after that point.
Yes, I mean, you believe in higher taxes in some ways to raise more money, and you also believe that more borrowing is safe, don't you?
On the first point, yes, absolutely. I think that things like an additional levy on the highest value properties, aligning the taxation of dividends properly with income tax, making sure that we have a further contribution from the banking sector, those are all things that can help to relieve the pressure on the public finances. But also, you're right that I think that once we've balanced the books, we've finished the job on the structural deficit and done so fairly, then we should allow limited borrowing focused on the most productive capital investment, things like roads and railways and infrastructure. I think that is a sensible and prudent thing for a country to do once its public finances are back in order.
Well, we're going to get the detail from your party later and people will be able to see if the sums add up. But what you say is very interesting, because we're talking here about the end of a period of 5 years of coalition government, only, whatever it is, 48 days to go. What you are saying in what you've just laid out there is that the Liberal Democrat view of how to get to the end point at the end of austerity is much closer to Labour thinking than Conservative thinking. It just is, from what you've said. Now, what that means is when you go into the election in 48 days' time, people are going to conclude that actually, in the end, you might be more likely to be on Ed Miliband's side than David Cameron.
Well, actually, I don't accept the premise of your question. Our plans would borrow a lot less than Labour, but cut less than the Tories. That's what you get with the with the Liberal Democrats.
But it's not at a midpoint.
Hold on. Let me just answer the question, right? Because I think that this is a really important issue that you are you are raising. And I don't hear from the Labour Party, despite the fact that they signed up to it when we published the Charter for Budget Responsibility and voted on it in Parliament in January, I don't actually hear from the Labour Party a commitment to deal with the structural deficit by 2017-18. I hear from the Labour Party a plan to spread the pain over the whole Parliament. I don't hear from the Conservative Party a plan for the country to turn the corner after 2017-18, which is what the Liberal Democrats are offering. But from the Labour side of the argument, it is slow, painful austerity for the whole of the next Parliament. That's something that I reject as well. So I think actually it is a very different proposition to that which either of the other parties are offering.
Yes, it is. But you see, we're told from every reputable survey that's being done that it's extremely unlikely that either of those two parties is going to command a majority on its own in the next Parliament.
Absolutely, and a good thing too, Jim, because given the lurch to the right you'd have with the Conservatives and the recovery wrecking plan you'd have from Labour, I think that either of them governing by themselves would be a disaster for this country.
It's not a question whether it's good, bad or indifferent.
Well, I think actually that is precisely the question for the voters, actually.
You know what I mean? I'm not asking you whether it's good, bad or indifferent. I know what your view is. What I'm saying to you is this, that this means that you may be, as a party, now all those same polls, of course, say that you'll be much smaller in the next Parliament, but let's just put that to one side. If you have a significant presence, you will have to do what you did in 2010, which is what you always say was a very difficult decision, but you thought it was in the national interest. And you can't just say, oh, well, we are different from the two others. We are going to be in the helter-skelter of an election campaign in the next 48 days, which is going to force people to put down some red lines. And by extension, when you put down a red line, you also say, well, look, this is where we agree. And what I'm suggesting to you is that anybody looking dispassionately at what you're saying about the economy would be bound to conclude that you might actually have more sympathy with a Labour argument than you have with your coalition partners.
Well, as I'm the person who's been responsible for many of those difficult decisions over the past 5 years, I have been in the face of Labour opposition every step of the way for the measures that I have taken to ensure that this country can live within its means. So I think that the idea that the Labour Party is suddenly going to come along with that seems difficult to believe. But of course, you're right. The polls don't suggest that either Labour or the Tories can win the election. And what I'd say to you is, look at what we did in 2010. We had four top priorities on the front page of our manifesto. We delivered those priorities in government. That's
You stood on your heads on university tuition fees, for which
When you look at the major priorities that we set out in our manifesto in 2010, cutting income tax for working people, lifting the personal allowance to £10,000 and beyond, only happening because you have Liberal Democrats.
Did you stop reform to inheritance tax in this budget?
We stopped reform to inheritance tax back in 2010 when the Conservatives dropped it in the coalition agreement.
Yeah, but that's not an answer to the question. Without you in these negotiations leading up to this budget, would it have been there, do you think?
In fact, despite the reports of the contrary, I don't recall inheritance tax being raised once by the Conservatives in these discussions. They have raised it at previous fiscal events and we've said no to it on those occasions. But in this budget, we didn't have the Conservatives saying that because they knew fine well that for the Liberal Democrats, our focus is on cutting tax for working people, not on those sorts of measures which only benefit the richest estates in the country.
Last one, and briefly if you can. The OBR is talking about public spending over the next few years being a roller coaster with a big dip coming in the first 2 years of the next Parliament. Do you think that's an accurate description?
Well, I think it's a fair reflection.
Is it accurate?
It's a fair reflection of the way they've put the numbers, but it doesn't reflect the fact that you can do the fiscal consolidation differently. You can have tax measures, as I've explained. It doesn't reflect the fact that
Without tax measures, is it going to be a roller coaster spending?
If you assume that you stick to all the numbers that George Osborne set out yesterday, which I don't, and if you assume that all of that is through departmental spending, that is accurate. But I don't think public expenditure does need to be on a big dipper. If you do the Liberal Democrat plan, you have a much smoother transition from rescue to recovery to renewal, and that's what you get with the Lib Dem plan I'll be setting out today. People can see that there's a different way of doing this that doesn't require that roller coaster to be what the country is on.
Danny Alexander, thanks a lot.